At Thousand Hills Ranch Church, we ride for life change. We pray that this message may bring life change for you.
First of all, I'm Bob Freeman. I live over at Fargo now. But I go all over the United States judging. I do cuttings and ropings and everywhere. I preach almost every time I go somewhere with these because they're not lined up to preach. They want to rope or cut, but they do not want to. Nobody wants to grab this mic and get up there, so I end up doing that also. And there's a lot of people I know here that I rope with, that I've worked with, lots of you, and it's good to see you. And some of these folks have heard some of the things I've had to say. They go same shows I go to, and they get to hear all this. But this was a tough one for me. Like I said, I do this almost every weekend somewhere, but here at home, this was a kind of a tough one because I know what we're going through here, and I've spoke at this church here before, and there needs to be some healing. And we can start with that today. And I'll tell you a quick story, and then we're going to do it. We're going to pray. I'm a big fan of praying. And God says where there's two or more gathered, he'll be there. And obviously we got two or more here. But I got a mare at home. She's a mare that I rope on, I head on. Anyway, a good one. She's got like 70 quarter horse points, and I've won, I don't know, 15, 20,000. She's a good mare. Anyway, she runs through a fence the other night. Cuts her up pretty good. And I got to thinking about this driving over this morning. The healing has to come from the inside. And that's inside this church as well, inside that mare. And we've been doctoring her now for 3 weeks. Boy, I mean, my wife is, I mean, she is faithful about doctoring that mare. And she's going to be sound. She's going to be fine. But it's the same thing we're going through right here. We got to have some healing. And it's got to start right in here. And we got to be forgiving. We got to be humble. We got to do it through love. We can grow this church as big as you want it or as small as you want it. But every church in Woodward, Oklahoma today, they're preaching out of the same book. So it doesn't matter if we're in a sale barn or we're in there by Walmart, the Baptist church, the Methodist, it doesn't matter. We all got the same book. We got the same leader. And all we have to do is say amen and follow him, right? Well, I want to start this off with a prayer. First of all, Cecil, a lot of these guys here, Danny, they know how I operate if you've been to any of mine. I want to offer all you guys out here, let's pray to someone. Who's on your mind? Anybody got someone on their mind? I'll start it off. I was telling Olivia this a while ago. I have a nephew. My youngest sister has a son, and he's in a homosexual affair. And I pray for this boy every day. His name's Chris, and I'd appreciate if y'all would pray for him too. But and the guy that got me preaching, this is another one on the personal side. He lives in Idaho, and I preach at his church up there. But he's got stage 4 cancer. And, boy, he's got a great attitude. He feels he is going to be cured, and I pray for that every day, and I hope so. But there's two people on my personal prayer list. His name's Keith Brown, but he does a lot of this evangelistic work just like I do, but he's got his own church up there. But anyone got somebody on their mind? Rachel? Yeah, Sheila told me about this. Rachel, some of y'all know her, got some medical issues. Let's keep her on her. Kaylee Schumann. Okay. Can y'all hear? Like I said, we don't have to make a big deal about it, but when we get done with this, we're going to pray for all of them in one prayer. And Cecil, you got anybody on your mind today? Danny, any? Forrest? What's he going through now?
Getting old.
For 90 what?
96.
That's Danny's dad, if y'all don't know him. And my mother, she's in a Christian rest home in down in Oklahoma City right now. Her health's good. But anyway, there's a lot of folks. And there's a lot of unspoken, and I know that. But if anybody's got something on their mind, Mark. Both of them? My goodness. So Uncle Larry and both of their mothers lost their husbands here recently. So prayers for the messengers. Real recent. Yes. Brother-in-law and grandson. And what's their names?
Tommy Walker and Baron Walker.
Tommy and Baron Walker. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Let's pray for the Hague family.
The Hague family, yes. The Hague family, they're going through a lot. This is tough. As it says in Romans, no one is without sin. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I'm going to preach a little bit about that day, and it's going to convict a lot of you. Like I said, this was a tough message I worked on today, and because I'm going to tell about some good about God, and I'm going to tell about some other things. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to gather here and with folks that think just like you. My goodness, Father, we are so blessed in this country. We've been blessed with rain recently. We're getting over some changes in the church here. And all these folks that were just mentioned, you say we're two or more gathered, you're there, and we know you're there listening. And Father, we thank you for that. And each one of them needs some healing of some kind, and we pray that your hand touches each and every one that we've mentioned. We know there's a lot of unspoken. And Father, we just pray that you touch those as well. And thank you, Father, for that. And we pray all this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, and all of God's children said, Amen. Well, I was, like I said, I was putting this together, and this feels kind of like a club here, because most of us anyway, here in the cattle business, farming business, something. I mean, we're real comfortable coming in here with jeans. I gave it a lot of thought whether to even wear a jacket or not. Because I know most people don't. Now, you can go to another church not far from here, and they'll all be wearing ties, three-piece suit, and that's fine. Like I said, we're all out of the same book. It doesn't matter. They're no better than we are down the street, no worse. We're all trying to get to heaven. And, boy, God made it easy. Just like Olivia was singing there a while ago, Amazing Grace, he did all the work on that cross. He dies on that filthy Roman cross, and all we have to do is what? Believe. We don't have to do anything. I'm going to give you a list of stuff here after a bit about things that we can't do. And like I said, it'll convict a lot of you. And it'll make you really uncomfortable. And I don't want you mad at me. That's between you and God. It's his word. And everything I say is going to be out of God's book. Like I said, some of you that have heard me preach for the last several years, I'm not going to come with what Bob says. If I do, I'll tell you. This is what I think. Everything, it comes from what God's word. And that's the first thing I feel we ought to do. I think every one of you ought to show up with a Bible. Come to this church. Go to the Christian church, the Church of Christ, Baptist church, wherever. Show up with a Bible. Show up with one you understand. Eugene Peterson got one. It's called The Message. It's an everyday language. It is so easy to understand. Or you can get a King James and obviously anything in between. I think Sheila's, we're going to have the NIV up here on the screen. But all kinds of Bible. Find one that you like, you can understand, and go from there. The Bible app, that's a good thing on your phones. I'm obviously old school, and I like one where I can highlight it and dog-ear it and underline and do things. Boy, and I don't know for sure where it is, but I know it's on the right side over here somewhere. And boy, you can find stuff. And I want you to check out everything any preacher, not just me, but anybody tells you. You check it out. As Peter says in his book, there in end times, which we are in end times, there will be false teachers. And I want you to check out everything I say as well as somebody else. Don't just take their word for it. Just because he's wearing a nice tie and a nice jacket, he's up here saying something. Make sure that's right. Make sure that's what God says. That's all that matters. I tell you what, I had a little, right here, I was coming out of Walmart. This has been several months ago, maybe a year. And, coming back past Atwoods there, and you can't turn left going out that way. Well, I knew that, so I ducked through Dan's there, the parking lot, and probably some of y'all have done that too. And I never thought nothing about it. My wife was with me. We ducked through there, and then I needed to go left, so I headed up north. Well, the policeman's sitting right over there. And I saw him. I mean, it wasn't like I was trying to dodge it. I saw him. I didn't. And some of y'all are laughing, so some of you got the same deal. But anyway, I got a ticket. And the point is, it doesn't matter what I thought. It's what the rules is, what the book says. And it's the same thing going here. It doesn't matter whether we like that or not. We say, oh, I don't like that about homosexuality, or I don't like that about abortion, or I don't like... It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God thinks. It's the same with me. It didn't matter what I thought. I didn't think I was doing anything wrong, but I was, according to him, and that's all that matters. And that's the way we are here. It doesn't matter what you think. Go by what God said. All we have to do is say amen. He did all the work, just like Olivia was saying. He did all the work on that cross. And all we have to do is follow it. Gee, Manee, just accept what he died for our sins. My goodness. How would you like to join the most exclusive club in the world? And the most inclusive? Christianity, right here. We are the most inclusive. We will take anybody. Any Muslim, any Buddhist, anybody can change and come to our way of thinking. Jesus Christ. And the most exclusive. Boy, we are going to heaven. If you know where your citizenship is, it isn't here in Woodward, Oklahoma, or Ellis County, or anywhere else. Our citizenship's in heaven. And that's where we're headed. So we got to act like it. Can they tell the difference in us right here? When we walk out of here, do we go back doing the same old things that we were doing? Telling the same old jokes? Our language gets bad. We start doing all... I'm going to list a bunch of stuff here in a minute. Do we come out... Can they tell the difference in us and a non-believer? If they can't, we probably need to remedy that. They should see a difference. Not the way we dress, but our language, our jokes, the way we treat our spouse, our kids. They should be able to see this. Do we have a loving, caring attitude for others or not? Sheila, bringing that up about the love there, where we started in John, to start bringing some of these up. All y'all know this about love. That's the easy part. This is one of everybody's favorite, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We like that one. Boy, that love, that's a good one. And go ahead and just run through some of them others. John 14:23. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. There we're talking about that citizenship again. Our home's in heaven. If we live to be... We was talking about Forrest there a while ago, and my mom and son. If we live to be 100 years old, boy, that's a long, good life, right? You know what eternity is? I heard John Hagee talking about this the other day on TV, and I thought this was well put. If you would take a silk handkerchief, and you're standing on Mount Everest with this silk handkerchief, just a nice silk handkerchief, and you're just waving it across the very peak of Mount Everest. When you've got Mount Everest wore down to nothing, that's the beginning of eternity. I mean, can you kind of imagine that? We can't fathom eternity. It's forever. If you live to be, like we was talking, if you live to be 80 or 100 something, boy, you've lived a good life, and that's nothing. Well, how do we get there? Grace. You know what grace is? Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. That's unmerited favor. Mercy usually goes with that. Most people, they like to say grace and mercy. Mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. Every one of us deserves to die on that cross, but he decided to do it for us. What a plan. And all we have to do is agree with him. Golly. How good is that? Carrying on in John, now let's talk a little bit more about love. He loves you dearly because you love me and believe that I came from God. That's Jesus speaking. Love. What we just keep coming back to that word love. Well, I was led, I'm going to go to Judges now, Sheila. I was led, for some reason, go to the Old Testament. I've been in there lately. I spoke over at Amarillo the other day about David, the first king. Well, the book of Judges in your Old Testament, you can look at it. It was written right after Joshua. And Moses, if you remember Moses, he led them out of the promised land, or led them to the promised land out of Egypt, the Jews. If you all remember that story, he led them out there in the 40 years in the wilderness, walking around the same old mountain. That was like a 5-day trip, and it took him 40 years. Anyway, Joshua was the guy that followed Moses. Well, this is the time between him and the kings, which was Samuel and then David. 325 years. This is when Israel had judges. And it talks about in Judges, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. In fact, I'll just read you the very last verse in Judges. This is Judges 25:21-25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Where were we at in the United States today? Does that not sound familiar? Everyone doing what is right. Look at the news. You turn on, and I imagine most people, everyone here watches a little more Fox than they do of the rest of them, because most of us are conservative here. But look where we're at today. Look at the news on the coast, both coasts. I tell you what, when I go to California, we can't even pray over the microphone at a horse show. They won't even let us pray over a microphone. So you can see the difference in that in western Oklahoma. We are so blessed out here, and we take this for granted. And the East Coast is just as bad. It is, and it's like two different worlds. But just think about what's going on in the world. I mean, you can pick any subject, and everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes. Well, that has nothing to do with anything. We got to do what's right in God's eyes, right? He made the rules. This is his book. I believe every word in this book. If you don't, you figure you know more than God? I doubt it. I sure don't. The fear of God. Let's do that in Proverbs. Can you find that, Sheila, there in Proverbs that I had? I like a lot of Proverbs. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Mine, in the King James, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I don't know how many of y'all had a pretty tough father. I did. He wasn't abusive or nothing, but he was pretty tough. When he said something, that's the way it was, and that's what you better do. And that's kind of the way our father is. We talked about love. Well, sure, he's love. My father loved me, too. But he would warm your tail up if you didn't do what was right. And that's the same thing here, except it's going to be worse. We're going to hell. We got two choices. Boy, he made it so easy. It's not like multiple choices. That door, that door, that door over there. We just got two. You want to go to heaven, you want to go to hell. How? Even a cowboy can understand this deal. I mean, this is a no-brainer. There's these two old boys, Bob and Joe. They were both team ropers. I team rope, so a lot of these guys understand the roping deal. And I'm sure everyone in this room understands it. But they're team ropers. And they roped every weekend, and they were really tight friends. Had been for years and years. They decided one day, if one of them dies as they're getting older, and they know death perhaps is right around the corner. If one of them dies, won't he try to get back to the other one and tell him what heaven's like? So they made that pact. Well, lo and behold, it's not a week later, Joe dies. And so anyway, Bob's out there feeding his horses one morning, early in the morning, just feeding his horses, doing his chores. And he hears this voice, Bob. Bob. Boy, he looks around, can't find anybody. Bob. And finally, he realizes, it's Joe. And Bob says, Joe, is that you? And he said, yeah. He said, I made it to heaven. And he said, I got back to you just like I said I would. He said, well, how is it? Well, he said, I got good news and I got bad news. He said, really? He said, what's the good news? He said, boy, I tell you, the cattle are so good up here. The ground is perfect. The flagging is perfect. I mean, there's no dust. If you like roping, you're going to like this. This is great. We said, what's the bad news? He said, you're up in the first bunch in the morning. And that's just a joke. Obviously, if you're a believer, that is not a bad thing. We are all wanting to get there. Most of us are a little scared about doing it too soon. We'd rather put it off a little while because it's an unknown. But if our citizenship really is in heaven, there's nothing to be scared of. The only people need to be scared are the ones that don't know if they're saved or not. What an opportunity. What an opportunity he has given us. My goodness. You know, if we're like I was talking about in Judges, if we're like that, what do we need to do to turn it around? I bet you everyone here has a friend, a family member, somebody that they pretty sure is not saved. Well, how can you maybe help them out? I don't think you have to be an evangelist like me, or you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a great singer like Olivia, or no electron. You don't have to do all that to reach someone, because they're probably not even going to come to church. A lot of these folks right here, they won't go to a church maybe downtown, but they'll come here to a cowboy church. So I think that's why the cowboy churches got started, just like that. In fact, I can remember the very first service that Bo did. We was out at the Armory. This was years ago, the very first one. I was there. This was for unchurched men, and he said that a lot. It's for unchurched men. A lot of women would probably go to church, but they can't get their husbands to go and think because they've had a bad experience. They passed the plate too many times, or somebody made them feel real uncomfortable or whatever, and they just had enough of that. We can't be that hard-headed. We can't be. If you're wanting to get to heaven, if you're wanting your loved ones to get to heaven, we've got to swallow that pride and do what's right in this book. He laid it all out. Sheila, I'm going to go to them three in the back. Let's go to Romans 1. This is the part that I was really not anxious about talking about. And you will not hear this preached. You won't hear it preached very many places. I'm an evangelist. I may not get asked back, so it really doesn't matter. I can say whatever's in the Word, and I will. It'll be just exactly what's in the Word. And this is where I was led to go. And this is Romans 1, and I'll start at 29. And I'll read. You can read it on the screen, but I'll read it out in my New King James Version. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They're whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedience to parents, undeserving, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, and they will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a pretty good list. Now, I looked up every one of those. I have several commentaries on. I got like 7 Bibles sitting by my chair at home, and I might be up 2:00 in the morning reading the Bible and reading a different version to see what it says. I looked up every one of them. There's the list of what each one of them things mean. And I promise you, everyone in this room have done some of it. That doesn't mean you're not saved. It says those who practice such things. If you continue to practice these things, you will not go to heaven. We've all sinned, just like I started with. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? But you can change and don't practice these things. I'll start. Sexual immorality, adultery, any form of illicit sex. I mean, that's a no-brainer. We know we're not supposed to do that outside the bonds of marriage. People do it. If you continue to practice those things, or as it says at the bottom, if you approve of that, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Pretty simple. God's eye, this is not Bob, this is God talking. Wickedness, covetousness, full of envy. How about envy? You know what envy is? Jealousy of others. We all get jealous. My gosh, he's got more cattle in his pens than I do, or his are fatter, they got more grass, they got a nicer car, whatever. Man, we got to put that behind us. All these things. Proud. How many of us are proud? How many of us get our priorities in the wrong order? God says, Jesus says in the Gospels, all four of the Gospels, says it several times. There can be no one ahead of him. God is first. If you put your wife ahead of him, you put your kids, your grandkids. And I know that's stepping on a lot of toes. Oh, my kids are great and my grandkids this and that. I've got kids. I've got grandkids. You cannot put them ahead of God. Not that they're not important and you might die for them, but God is first. He will have nobody ahead of him. Then become idols. Our kids, our grandkids, they become our idols. We was talking about horses a while ago. Shoot, I've been in the position. I was in the cutting horse, but I was a trainer way before I was a judge. And I had my horses way up there. It was ahead of God. I was wrong. But that was the most important thing in my life at the time, was my horses. And I sure think probably when my grandkids were young, they might have been way up there too. That's wrong also. And I'm sure a lot of us have been in that same position. We can't keep there. We can get our alignment out of order just for a little bit, but get it back. Just what I was saying about that list. Those who practice such things, those who continue to do such things, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And as Olivia was singing about grace a while ago, I thought about this is another little lighter story to keep it light and not to make everyone too uncomfortable in here. But had a nice cowboy church, just like this one. A lot of good places, comfortable, easy to get along with in here. Everybody kind of do the same thing. This old boy dies and he meets Gabriel at the pearly gates. And Gabriel said, well, we've changed things a little bit. Said, you got to have 100 points to get into heaven. The old boy said, all right. I get my points? And he said, well, just tell me what all you've done right, and I'll tell you how much the points are worth. He said, good enough. He said, I'm a pretty good old boy. I think I can go for that. He said, well, what's first? He said, well, I've been married to the same woman for 50 years. I've never cheated on her. I've never even had lustful thoughts. I have been a loyal husband, and I am really, really proud of that. How many points do I get for that? Gabriel says, 3. Ooh, kind of swallowed hard. He said, 3 points. He said, yeah. He said, well, what else have you done? And he said, I've worked at the cowboy church. I've been out on horseback. I've greeted people. I've worked in Sunday school with the little kids. I've even been in the nursery, changed diapers. I've really donated a lot of time and effort to the church. How many points do I get for that? He said, 1. He said, well, this is slow go here. He said, well, what else have you done? He said, every Christmas, I cook soup for the homeless. I've really donated a lot of my time to the homeless and have done, I thought, a pretty good job on that. How many points do I get for that? He said, 2. He said, at this rate, he said, I'm never going to get there except by the grace of God. Gabriel says, bingo, you're in. We cannot work ourselves into heaven. The grace of God. He did all the work. He did all the work. We have a big God. All we have to do is agree with Him. You know, I think about that a lot, about how lost people and what we can do. In my business, when I'm judging horse shows, when I was training a lot, we go to Fort Worth. That's kind of our capital of the cutting horse world. Anyway, at Fort Worth, we have a lot of Australians now, good horse trainers. Boy, they're hardworking guys. I mean, these boys know how to work, and they are a little tough on horses, but boy, they're good. And we have a place up there above the cattle. Like when you're settling cattle and cutting, if most of you have got an idea what I'm talking about, we're settling cattle here. Up above there is where all the trainers sit, and they watch the cattle. That way, if Mark cuts this Hereford, then I cut the Charolais. You don't cut the same cattle because you take all the sting out of them. You're not going to win much. But anyway, all the cattle settlers or watchers are up there, and all these Australian boys. And I sat there the other day, and I looked at all them Australians, and I thought, Bob, how many of them have you led to the Lord? And one is all that I know I've led to the Lord. One Australian. And we was in Phoenix, Arizona, and he got down on his knees, accepted Jesus Christ in the parking lot there in a motel. And that's the only one I know that I have led. Maybe I've had an influence on others, I don't know. But my point is, we can all do something. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. You got people in your family that you could give them the best gift that money can buy. And money can't buy it. The best gift, lead them to the Lord. You can buy them a new Corvette. You can buy them a brand new house. You can do whatever you want. There is nothing better than leading them to the Lord and getting them to heaven. Amen? That is absolutely. So what do we have to be ashamed of? Nothing. You're going to look down on just what I was talking about when I was talking about judges. We're going to be looked down on. Everyone does what's right in their own eyes. You think, well, this is right. This is what I like. This way I'm going to do it. It doesn't matter. You've got to do what's right in God's eyes. Our opinion does not matter. It's what God's opinion did matters. And then all we got to do is say amen. Now, back to the judges. These were all Jews. Everything in that Bible, except Romans through Philemon. Let me show you something. When you're shopping for that Bible, I know many of you have one at home. I would like to see you bring your Bible. I'll go slow enough. You can look it up. I'll tell you where it is. Because I know a lot of you say, well, I don't know if that's New Testament or Old Testament. I don't know where that is. You're embarrassing me. We'll take time and I'll show you. Right there, that, I don't know if you can see it, that them few pages right there, I counted them a while ago in my Bible. There's 30 of them, front and back. That is Romans through Philemon. That is written to us, the Gentiles, by the Apostle Paul. The rest of the Bible is Jewish. It's all, if you'll read in Timothy, it's all God's word, and it's all for our use. It's not like you discard the rest of it. But if you start reading that Bible in Genesis, by the time you get to Numbers, Leviticus or something, you're putting that thing on the shelf because you don't understand it. It is getting way, way complicated. There is a lot of names you can't pronounce. I mean, it's start in Romans. Get your new Bible that I'm trying to encourage. I have no interest in the Bible selling business, by the way. I'll give you a Bible. I give a lot of them little cowboy Bibles away. And you start in Romans. And you read through Philemon, that is to us, the Gentiles. It'll tell you everything you need to know. If it's not in there, it's not that important. And we talk about, let's talk about a little bit about the rapture. In my opinion, this is Bob. Now, I told you earlier, it would be straight out of the word, or I'd tell you it's my. In my opinion, most of us are going to see it in our lifetime, even the older ones. And I'm including myself in that. I think the rapture is that close. I'm sure the Apostle Paul thought that too. Everyone has thought that. And so I'm not putting a date, nothing like that. But But all you have to do is look how the world is going. And I think the end is near. The rapture, can you imagine that? If you're reading 1 Thessalonians, and we will be changed before we touch this roof right here. We will be changed. If we're all saved, let's assume everybody in here is saved. We're all Christians. The rapture comes. God comes back. His feet doesn't touch the ground. He comes back to get us. We are changed before we get there. We don't have to taste death. We join those who have died before us in the air. Now, can you imagine that little deal? Boy, we're up there. We're up there in heaven. Here's your grandma. Here's someone you hadn't seen in 100 years. What? And boy, we're up there in the air together. I mean, you talk about an exciting time. And we get to go up to heaven for 7 years. And then what? God is dealing back with the Jews. He is back dealing with the Jews. And the Gentiles, we've had our chance. We've had 2,000 years since the cross. 2,000 years to make up your mind. Am I going to follow God or not? I don't know. I don't like that part. I wrote down a little deal. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you face him as your judge. Which one you want? He's a pretty tough judge, as I listed off all them deals. And we like to talk about that first part I had up there about love. Oh boy, that's fun. I like to be loved. I like when I do things wrong, my mom come up and say, oh, it'll be all right and all that. We like that love part. We don't like that discipline part. There's going to be some tough discipline. And like I said, most preachers don't like to talk about that. But it's coming. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. It is coming. So all we have to do is get on his side. Pretty easy deal. Romans 8. Romans 8. I told you, get your new Bibles out. When you get to Romans, if I could give you a Bible study plan, read Romans every week, the book of Romans. That applies to us, the Gentiles, directly. And if you could, read Romans 8 every day for a while. It's a short read.
It's right there.
It's not long. It won't take you long. I start every one of my days. You don't have to copy what I do. I start every one of my days, my wife and I, with a Bible study and a cup of coffee every day that we're home together. Every day. Boy, it starts you off perfect. I know a lot of people say, well, I don't like that early morning stuff. I'm kind of a night owl. I'd rather get up late and do mine. Well, when are you going to tune that violin? We was talking about fiddles, violins earlier. When are you going to tune that fiddle? After the symphony or before it? Well, shoot, I'm going to be prepared for the day. Let's get that up and get around. So if you don't get up and get around, get up and get around. Get to bed earlier. Get in God's word. Let's find out what he's got in mind for us. If you read all through the Bible, he talks about early morning. Get up, get in that word. You don't have to stay there all day. It will start your day off right, I promise you. You mix a little Holy Spirit and a little caffeine now, you can get to moving around now. Romans 8. This here is also a little tough for those that aren't saved. Verse 6, can we got that, Sheila? For to be carnally minded, that's fleshly minded, that's to be what the norm think, the secular people, what they think. Is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, let me carry on. I'll go down to 7 now. Because the carnal mind is an enmity, which is enemy, against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You realize you can pray all you want. If you're not a saved person, God doesn't hear your voice unless you're asking for salvation. He'll hear that one every time and accept you into his group. That exclusive, inclusive club I was talking about, boy, you're in if you'll ask for salvation. But if you just go to pray and say, boy, I want to win the lottery. I want this or that. If you're not a saved person, he doesn't even hear your prayers. What's what it says right there in Romans 8. You can get down on your knees and do all the praying you want. Unless you're a child of God, he doesn't hear your voice. If you're a child of God, he hears it every single time. Now, how he answers it, that's up to him. There again, we go back to his call. There's three places in the Bible, Isaiah, Romans, and Philippians. It talks about getting on your knees. It said, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. One day, it doesn't matter if you're an atheist, agnostic, it doesn't matter. One day, every knee is going to bow. They're going to be dead. It'll be when they're facing the great white throne judgment. That's a whole different sermon. I prefer to get on mine right now and accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Everyone's going to do that. If you wait till the end, it's too late. I've used this illustration a bunch in my personal life. My oldest sister, she cannot remember hardly when she wasn't saved. She got saved as a little girl, kind of like Paisley. I mean, she was, I don't know, 8 or 10 or 12, young, and said she couldn't hardly remember not feeling like she is saved. My father, on the other hand, he died when he was 81. He accepted the Lord 2 weeks before he died. Again, this is my opinion. God's judging their hearts, not me. But now that's the extremes. You accept it way young or right at the whistle. Most of us are in the middle there, hopefully somewhere. Don't put it off to the end. I had a brother, another personal story. I had a brother-in-law. He lives down at Piedmont. He was up, wind, had a big wind down there last week. Had some tree limbs and stuff. And anyway, he's up there. He's 68 years old. He's up there trying to pull a limb out of a tree. Falls out of the tree. Lands on his back. He's not paralyzed. And obviously he's not dead. But he's... death could come on him that quick. And it can every one of us. As soon as we drive out of here, what if we don't see the train? What if we don't see the guy coming from the east? And he hits us, kills us. I mean, I was going to get around to that. Get around to it now. He made it so easy. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now that, I don't know if you caught it, them two words, Lord and Savior. Well, we all want that Savior part, don't we? We all want to be saved. Everyone here. There's not a person here who said, no, I don't want to be saved. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. How about that Lord part? To make him Lord of your life. Now, that's a little tougher. So I still want control. I want to kind of do it a little bit like I want to. That's not the way it works. It's just like me coming out of Walmart. It's not the way it works. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what the book says. You've got to do it his way. And every one of you, if you don't have a Bible, get one. Every one of you, you got the rule book. We wouldn't go start a new sport like the PGA Championship. They're playing golf now in St. Louis for the PGA. They got rules. They got to go by the rules. Well, we do too. We got rules. We got to go by them. It's not to get you saved. You can be saved by it, getting on your knees just like I did and asking Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. I'm sorry I have sinned, and I'd like to turn it around. I repent, and I want to turn my life around. That easy. Then all them rules, you'll want to do them. It's not like I got to do this to get to heaven. No, you don't. But you'll want to do them. Does that make sense? You don't do them to get to heaven. That's what the Jews thought all the time. That they had to do the works to get to heaven. Well, works don't do it. The works will come. And how many of us wish we had a voice like her that could sing, just even if it's just us, sing along with the radio or in the shower or something. My goodness. Or you had the ability to run all them buttons and things like Sheila's doing. I mean, unless you're probably under 20, you can't do that. Anyway, we're all called to do different things. And that gets to a different message. But if we're all in the body of Christ, let's assume everyone here is saved, we're all in the body of Christ. Well, each one of us can do something else. Mike, he can speak Spanish. He can ride a horse. He can do something. Cecil can do something. Danny, all these guys, I mean, they got abilities. He can run a bead, a fair welding bead that, I couldn't do that if I practiced 20 years. But we've all got abilities to do things. And he's going to see people that I'll never see. Billy Graham wouldn't have seen. Mother Teresa's not going to see. These people are not going to go to church. That's where we come in. Lead them to the Lord. The best gift you can give. I found that when God says something twice, that's like underlining it. That means he is especially. He doesn't repeat himself much, but when he says it twice, like verily, verily, I say unto you, or truly, truly, I say, that's important to him. That is way important. When he says it three times, that's extremely important. That gets back to this, what I was telling you, when you get on your knees, he said it in Isaiah, he says it in Romans, and he says it in Philippians. When he says something three times, I think he's pretty serious about it. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunity you give us in this country to come and worship you openly with music, with your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for guiding, directing each and every one of us. And Father, can we leave here today with that on our mind as you as our Lord and Savior? And may we just leave one person to your Son, Jesus Christ. You have blessed us with that ability, Father, and we thank you for it. And we thank you for guiding and directing us. And we pray all this in his name. Amen.
Thousand Hills is blessed that you have chosen to join us today and listen to this message. If you feel led to make a change, please contact us at 580-216-6427 or join us online at thousandhillsranch.church. At Thousand Hills, we ride by a code that believes that it is more blessed to give than to receive. If you feel led to give, you can go to the Give tab on our website and give your tithe today. Thank you. God bless.